Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A. It's the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. It's a show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. G'day, friends. It's your host, Will Mawala. I'm in the studio tonight, and my co-host this evening with me is Pastor Brenton Wilkinson. Brenton, it's always good to have you in the studio, mate.
It's nice to be back on air with you again, Will.
And yeah. Isn't it good to be a little bit cooler, I should say.
The weekend we were up in the Riverland and it was dreadfully hot.
Oh, I can imagine
out
there.
Dreadfully hot. I mean, last week it got to nearly 50. It was 50 degrees, so they were telling me over the weekend.
50 degrees.
In one or two spots. Where we were, I think last week the hottest it got was about 47, but you really notice the difference between 50 and 47. Oh, so.
I take your word for it. I take your word for it.
Yeah, so no, right? It's good to have it cooler. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And we also join in the studio with my lovely daughter, Nariah. Nariah, that's you want right. to say hello?
Hi.
Well, there you go. That's my little princess, and she is here with Daddy in the studio. So,
she is.
again, want to welcome you all to our live show here, Faith FM Drive Time. If you just join in, we get the privilege of going live during this hour, 5 p.m. Adelaide time during the week. And as always, we have a brand new theme that we unpack, not only myself and Brendan, but the rest of our team. So here it is, our theme for today and for the rest of the week. If God is all-loving and all-powerful, why doesn't he fix the problem of pain? That's the age-old question. If God is all-loving and powerful, why doesn't he fix the problem of pain? And so that's the theme that our team will be looking at. Tonight we're talking about pain and suffering. Why pain and suffering? A little later on in the week, did Christ explain evil? And I think a question we were all asking ourselves, why doesn't God deal with evil right now? Mm. I mean, we see it on the news. We see it all around us. Yep. If God is so powerful, Pastor Will, why doesn't your God do something about it? And so that is a very relevant question, a question that many people have. And if you stay tuned for the rest of the week, our team will attempt to answer that question. Pain and suffering in the life of Jesus Christ towards the end of the week. So hoping that this is a topic that would generate some conversation with you and your family and your friends, or even if yourself, if you have that very question, you've thought about, you know, this concept of, okay, I kind of believe there's a God, or I'm open to the idea of the Bible and Christianity and Jesus, but okay, if the God of the scriptures is so powerful, why does it seem that he's allowing, and I use the word allowing in quotation marks, doesn't he fix the problem of pain? And so that's what we're going to be looking at.
It's Brenton. Very interesting because some of the ancient Greek thinking was very much along those lines, as you probably know. Their view was something along these lines. I don't know whether it was Plato or one of those guys who said, well, if he's all powerful and he doesn't do anything about the problem, you could class that as negligence.
Yep.
If he isn't all-powerful and this stuff goes on, that indicates that he's impotent or not able to deal with the problem. So whether he's powerful enough to deal with it and isn't, or isn't powerful enough to deal with it, either side, people have got questions and saying, well, why? Why doesn't he deal with it if he's all-powerful? If he's not all powerful, well, how can we trust that he's going to do anything about it at all?
Yep.
So that's some of the ancient Greek thinking.
Yep.
And we're not going to touch on that too much. Our topic is how did pain and suffering enter the world? And so we're going to give a Bible answer as to how, but we're also going to look just briefly at Christ on the cross. Even though later in the week, I'm sure it'll be dealt with in more detail, we need to have a look at how did Jesus deal with the issue of pain? Was it just physical pain that he was suffering on the cross, or was it much deeper than that?
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we'll look forward to your unpacking of that for us tonight, sure. Pastor Brendan. We're going to go to a World Watch segment, but before we do, I always like to just say to our listeners out there, if you are able, We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
And so we've got the big screen up here in the studio. And as always, we love to give you a shout out. Let us know. Obviously, if you're driving, you can't do that. But if you can, if you've got a spare few moments, hey, grab your phone, text us the number. This is the same number we're quoting and we're, you know, sharing each and every time we have drive time. So if you are a regular listener, I want to encourage you, or you've listened for a couple of times at least. Hey, why don't you store this number in your phone? So here it is, 04888 8011, and that's the number that you will need for our free book offer, which we will give a shout out in just a few moments. But hey, why don't you text us through? Let us know where you're tuning in from. Yes. We have listeners from all, like, Faith FM is a nationwide radio, Christian radio ministry. So it's not just here in Adelaide, it's all across the country. And we always love to hear where you, our lovely listeners, are tuning in from, whether it's New South Wales, Canberra, Perth, you know, all across the country.
We'll give you a
give us a shout out. And we have regular listeners, and we also have people who are could be tuning in for the first time. So if you are actually tuning in for the first time, like you just stumbled across Faith FM, or you're just in the car, or you're just near the radio and you're hearing us right now, hey, why don't you text us through? We'd love to hear from you. 04888 8011. Send us a quick text. Let us know where you're tuning in from, and I'll give you a quick shout out. So let's go to the World Watch segment. So what I thought we would share, Pastor Brenton, is this this thing that's kind of happened here in our country in the last
hate speech
few weeks. Yeah, the concept of hate speech. So let me just rattle off a couple of these articles I got in front of me. Channel 9 News, there was an article posted a few weeks ago, January 12, and the title reads, Factories of Hate, New South Wales Cracks Down on Illegal Prayer Halls. If you read the gist of the article, it was kind of on the heels of the Bondi attack. And kind of, you know, the whole, you know, simmering of this anti-Jewish hate sentiment. And I'm thinking of this particular individual who was kind of essentially in the mosque, kind of, you know, allegedly delivering some very hate-filled speech towards the congregants there.
It was supposed to be prayer meetings.
Yeah, prayer meetings, so to speak, yeah. So that's one article. I've got another one here that that I want to just share. The reason why I want to share this, Pastor Brendan, is it kind of came on the heels of the Bondi terrorist attack.
Yes.
And so there was a huge, you know, outcry for our government to do something about this. Yeah, yeah. And so they've kind of, you know, whipped up this kind of hate speech law, where I kind of want to just kind of add a little bit to the conversation is, you know, we're both Christians here in this studio, Pastor Brendan, both pastors, and I kind of agree to with the general gist of this article that I want to quickly read. It's from the Australian Christian Lobby website, dated January 15, so just a couple of weeks ago, and it's a media release, and it's titled, it's not a long, it's basically just a statement, basically, and the title of this media release says this, Pastor Brenton, hate speech overreach misses the real threat. Now, let me just read the article because it's only paragraphs.
Yeah, keep going.
And I'd love to hear your thoughts, Brenton, and as well, you guys out there in Radio Land. Yep, so here we go.
David's.
We've got a text up there on the screen. David.
Western Australia, isn't he?
We'll read your comment in just a few moments. But hey, thanks, David. We can see your comment.
David.
We'll read it in a bit. But let me read the article here. The Australian Christian Lobby warns the government's hate speech reforms risk restricting ordinary Australians' lawful speech. The Bondi attack was inspired by radical Islamic ideology and fueled by explicit anti-Semitism. The ACL supports stronger protections against anti-Semitic hate and racial vilification, where such hatred is linked to extremist ideology, national security threats, or violence. However, expanding penalties across broad categories of belief risks suppressing legitimate debate and eroding fundamental freedoms without improving safety. Yeah. There's a bit more here.
Right.
ACL CEO Michelle Pearce said the...
Haven't we interviewed her on air here? Yeah, we did last year.
I think we
Michelle
may have.
Michelle was here last year. I met her.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't in the studio. Oh, yeah, wow. No, so you actually had Michelle in the studio.
I think Pastor Gary may
have lovely.
Interviewed her.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So she's the ACL CEO. It says in the article, Michelle Pearce said the government's strategy risks punishing the wrong people. And she's quoted here saying, quote, groups campaigning against immigration risk being labelled a, quote, hate group and shut down, and Christian leaders speaking out against trans ideology risk prison sentences, end of quote.
Yes.
These laws won't work, she goes on to say. They need to be targeted on the real threat. Conflating terrorism with everyday speech will not make Australia safer.
No,
it will only silence legitimate debate, end of quote. Mm-hmm. The Australian Christian Lobby is calling for a targeted, effective approach that focuses on the extremist ideologies responsible for the most dangerous forms of hatred and anti-Semitism in Australia, mm-hmm. while protecting the freedoms that are essential to a democratic society. End of article. So, I don't know, I'm just kind of getting a sense, on the one hand, the government recognises there's definitely a problem with, you know, radicalisation within Australia, and we, you know, you see it on the news, and obviously, as I mentioned earlier, the combination of the Bondi terrorist attack and the government's response. But what do you think about this, Pastor Brendan, this kind of hate speech where it's kind of, you know, what you say could be labelled hate speech? Now, let me just be totally upfront with you, the way why I resonated with this is what would happen if you and I, Pastor Brendan, or our colleagues, or just any church across the nation for that matter, the preacher or the speaker of the day says something and someone's there videoing it or recording it, or someone, and next minute you're on, you're getting a call from the government or I don't know what type of agency, and what you had said that weekend was labelled hate speech. I think that is not too far flung to imagine in the near future.
You're drawing a long straw on that.
Yeah.
Right? That's the problem. Of course, as Christians, we have an understanding of prophecy.
Yeah.
Now, what if prophecy involves current organisations, be they religious, be they secular, or whatever they happen to be, and we are presenting what we believe God's word teaches, does that constitute hate speech because we happen to be speaking about a particular group or whatever? I think there's distinct dangers in there. Unfortunately, I'd agree with Michelle. One of the problems is that when this was being debated in Parliament, you could not get anyone from the government to say that this Bondi Beach massacre was as a result of radical Islam.
Yeah.
It was almost impossible to get those words out of their mouths. Now, there was a reason for that, and I'm not going to go into it on air, but it's very, very interesting that they would not espouse saying those words, that it was radical Islam that inspired these two men to do the horrible things that they did. Now, I think, to a degree, these hate speech laws have missed the mark. I'm not a politician and I'm not in Parliament, nor do I correspond with anyone in Parliament. But I seriously wonder whether they have missed the mark in some respects, because I know before they put the legislation forward, the government, the problem was this will, that it was nearly a month, wasn't it, from the time the attack took place till the time the government acted. Now, I'm not a member of the government and I don't know the reasons as to why they did that, but people around Australia from all walks, from all religions, non-religious, were calling for action and saying, why isn't the Prime Minister doing something?
Yep.
And so the government took action, and I just wonder whether it was a bit too hasty, because I've listened and to constitutional experts and also to people like the Catholic Archbishop of Sydney and other leaders in the religious community here. They're concerned about some aspects of this.
Yeah.
Because if you quote from your religious documents, be it the Quran, be it the Bible, or whatever your religious document is, and it has reference to some current, as I say, religious group, political group, maybe a political religious group, If you present this publicly, is that going to be classed as hate speech?
Yeah.
And are you going to be in major trouble because of it?
Yeah.
Because what you're doing is you believe you're doing what God would have you to do, because that's what he's revealed in his word. Mm. And other people are saying, no, you're denigrating this aspect of society or that aspect of society. I think there are some definite risks there.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Would I say they haven't done anything? No, they have done something and they need to be commended for that. But I just wonder whether it is overreach in some areas.
Yeah. So just Signs of the Times, if I could use
Signs
that.
Signs of the Times are good magazine.
Just to wrap up this kind of this segment, Pazbrendan, although it's not directly connected, I kind of see some type of overlap with you know the story in the Bible when Elijah confronted King Ahab?
Yes.
And he was, you know, he was on the run basically, you know, there was no rain in for three and a half years. And when they finally found him, when I think it was Obadiah found him, then King Ahab confronts Elijah. He says, "Are you the one that troubles Israel?"
And Elijah says, No,
it wasn't me.
It's you and your family who have troubled Israel.
I don't have the actual quote or reference, but there is a book that has completely, outside of Scripture, has
it's First Kings totally, 18. If you're looking for the scriptural reference, you'll find it in First Kings 18th chapter.
But just to kind of wrap this up, there's a book called The Great Controversy, and it's an amazing book that relates to current world events.
It does.
And there's a chapter, I forgot the title of the chapter, but essentially what the author does is essentially say the same thing that happened in Elijah's day is going to happen at the end of time.
Yes.
And Elijah's almost somewhat of a symbol of God's people.
Deja vu.
Yes. And the thing that I'm saying is God's people are going to be looked at as the ones who are causing all the problems and the havoc in the world. So there needs to be this, you know, global, you know, peace type of
and you're
religion.
Not part of it, so therefore you must be causing the problem or at least be contributing to it.
So I don't know. I'm not saying, you know, this is it right now, but, you know, incrementally it's going towards where if you're not towing the line and saying things that the government or the culture or what, you know, mainstream, we could be vilified, you could be vilified.
I think that's
and almost, in light of today's article, you could be labelled a hate preacher, which we don't want to.
So
there you have it. We just wanted to share with you, our listeners, about the very interesting development that's happening definitely in our country. And certainly I would guess across the world as well. So I can see just on the screen up here, as we said, we want to give you a shout out. We've got Damien Sen from Adelaide.
Oh.
If you're still tuning in there,
Damien.
Welcome, mate. It says, "Hi, I'm from Adelaide." And so are we. So blessings to you, my friend.
And David Edgar from Western Australia. David's a regular of ours.
He's a regular.
He's on from time to time.
Yes.
And then we have Graham from Bruny Island, which I would think is in Tasmania.
Okay.
Very interesting comment. Thank you, Graham, for your comment.
Hello,
guys. When I was living in Indonesia, I treated two men with leprosy who were crawling along the footpath. They
were
fingers and toes. I think he means their fingers and toes had worn away because they couldn't feel pain.
Yeah. So there's Graham, and thank you for reading that.
Thank
and then
you,
there's
Graham.
David. I'll just read David's one. He says he did fix, and I believe he's talking about responding to tonight's
article. How did sin enter the world?
Yes. Unfortunately, non-believers haven't accepted him in their life, and then there's traditional Christians doubt that he can or he knows the changing of pure hearts to turning from him, or it's just their early time and sorry, don't understand that. Final one, sorry, David Edgar Jr., still a member from SDA Clarkson, WA. David, we know that you are a regular listener.
Thank you, David.
And thank you for supporting Faith FM. God bless you, my friend. So thank you, guys. And, okay, we've got another text here. Saidu from Canberra.
Oh, wow.
The Capital Territory.
Welcome, Saidu.
Blessings to you. Good evening, team. Saidu here from Canberra. I love Canberra.
Team. I like team.
Yeah. That's the one.
Thank
that's
you,
that's the key word. All right. Well, hey, thank you for all you guys that have texted in.
Four so far.
We got four. And if you're still listening and you want to give us a shout out, please feel free to do so. 0488 80811. Let us know where you're tuning in from. But before we get to a break, which we'll do just now, we want to promote the book offer. So the book offer is actually a Signs of the Times. It's a little magazine and it's a special because the topic in particular is dealing with our topic tonight for the rest of the week.
It
so
is.
It's it's Signs of the Time article, magazine, sorry, When Life is Unfair by author, evangelist, pastor Mark Finley. Why do bad things happen to the innocent? Where is God when tragedy strikes? What is causing all of this pain and suffering? these difficult questions defy easy answers, but a careful reading of the Bible can bring peace and hope. And as you, as we struggle with the injustices of life. So if you'd like that free resource, When Life is Unfair, a Signs of the Times magazine special, all you need to do is text us the code. And the code for tonight is SA402. Text that code SA402. You don't need to text your name or anything. Just the code SA402. Text that to the number 0488880811. Follow the friendly bot. And you will get that book as soon as we can.
You will indeed.
So we're going to go to a break. We'll plug the book off for a little later on in the show, but please hang around. We'll go to some music. And when we come back, we'll be dealing with the question is why pain and suffering? Please don't go away. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my
that was Chelsea Moon, How Deep the Father's Love. If you're just tuning in, it's Will and Brenton in the studio, Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A. We're coming to you live from our studio here in Adelaide, and we're starting off the week with a brand new theme. If God is all-loving and all-powerful, why doesn't he fix the problem of pain? That's the overarching theme, but tonight Brenton and I are looking at the question, why pain and suffering? So, Pastor Brenton, walk us through what does the Bible say about pain and suffering? What's the biblical response to this age-old question about pain and suffering?
Well, the biblical response for those who are listening, for those maybe listening for the umpteenth time, and for those who are listening for the first time, is that as Christians, we believe pain and suffering is in the world because of sin. Mm. In order to understand that, we need to look back at how it all began. But before that, let me say this, and this is where the big conundrum will comes in for many people. Both the innocent and the guilty suffer. Both the wicked and the good suffer. What do you say to a person, a mother and father, whose two-year-old child has terminal cancer?
Mm.
You say, that's not fair. On the other hand, what do you say to the parents of a gang member who gets murdered on the street in an ambush? You say he got what was coming to him.
Mm.
So these are some of the things where we don't have any simple answers. Nobody has yet written a book. It doesn't matter how good a theologian they are. No one has written a book that gives satisfactory answers to all of these things.
Yeah.
Because of sin. And it's interesting. You've been to funerals. You've conducted funerals.
Yep.
So have I. The ones I find the hardest to take, not necessarily because I'm not conducting them, but because I go along, I sit in the chair in the funeral parlour or the home or wherever the funeral is being held, the church, and I have someone get up and tell me that death is a part of life. And I'm going, no, it's not a part of life. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are listening around Australia tonight, if you've been told this, heard this, been along to a funeral service where this was said, don't believe it, because it isn't a part of life. Death is an enemy. It intruded. Death came in and became an enemy to the human race because of sin.
Yep.
That's where it all starts. So it's interesting. I was looking at Graham's statement on the screen earlier on. Why do we have nerves in our fingers and our toes and that sort of thing to tell us that they're like pain receptors, but a person with leprosy hasn't got that? You can stick your hand in a fire or something like that and not know anything about it because the nerves are dead. You can't feel it.
Yep.
You don't know what's happening. Let's start at the beginning, but when I look at the issue of how did sin enter our world and why have we got pain and suffering, I'm going to quote this statement from C.S. Lewis. I don't think you'll get it during the rest of the week. If you do, fine, put it in your memory bank. He put it this way. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pain.
Mm.
It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You've probably read it. It's comes from the book Mere Christianity, page 23. Now, when I was considering this subject, Will, I thought, where do we start? Well, we have to start back in the book of Genesis. So if I start at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, God, after creating Adam and Eve, tells Adam this. He says, you may eat freely of the trees of, or the fruit of the trees in the garden, all of them, except one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it seems that Adam took that on board. Okay. So, what was the penalty? If you ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you would surely die. I think I have mentioned before on air that did Adam and Eve know what die meant? I suspect they didn't, because they had no reference point to be able to say what die meant. There were no falling leaves. There was no animals dying. There was no human beings dying. There was nothing that reeked or even showed of decay. So everything was perfect. And had they not sinned, it would have remained that way. However, in chapter 3, unfortunately, we find that Eve is deceived by the serpent, and we're not going to go through that in detail, but I would like to refer people to verse 4 of the third chapter of Genesis, where after she has a dialogue with the serpent that Satan is using as a medium, she says, "Oh, God did say if we ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we would surely die." And he answers and says, "You will not surely die." We believe that was the very first lie that was told. So now she has to make a choice. Does she believe the voice that is speaking through this talking serpent, or does she believe what God has said? Because the talking serpent had actually taken some of the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and was eating it and enticing her to take it herself. And she did, of course, as we know. She did take the fruit and she gave some to her husband. But verse 6 is particularly interesting in the context of what we're talking about. It's a point of decision. It says that she saw that the fruit was good for food. How did she know? She hadn't tasted it. Pleasing to the eye? Yes, it may well have been. And desirable for gaining wisdom, which, once again, she didn't know. Because remember, they didn't know what evil was. They only knew what good was. I don't believe God ever intended that Adam and Eve ever knew or would ever know what evil was.
Mm.
What were the results? Well, they didn't die that day. We know that because in Genesis 3:15, God said he would put enmity between you and the woman. Someone was going to come along and put an end to what was going on there.
Yeah.
However, he did say later in chapter 3 to Eve, firstly, he said, "I am going to greatly increase," and he uses this word. It's the first time you find the word used in Scripture. "I will greatly increase your pain in childbirth."
Mm.
In fact, the New International Version says this, "make your pains very severe." Now, you and I are males, so we've never had to go through childbirth, but I guarantee if you talk to your wife or talk to any woman who has had children, you would get some interesting stories on this one.
Yep.
Did they suffer pain in childbirth?
Yep.
I don't know that I can think of too many women that I know who have had children who have had virtually painless childbirth.
Yeah.
It's really been quite traumatic for some of them and quite severe.
Mm.
And anyway, then he says to Adam, "What is this you've done?" "Well, as a result of what you have done, by eating the fruit that I told you not to eat of, you are going to have to work, till the soil to produce food for yourself and your family." And he says basically that eventually in verse 19, he states that until you return to your ground, since you were taken from it. So that's how pain and suffering entered the world. Pain in childbirth, and let's put it this way, Will, sore backs, sore muscles from having to work the soil to earn a living to keep Eve and however many children they had. Okay. So these choices, what we could say is this. We could say that the choices that Adam and Eve made that day had almost eternal consequences. And until Christ returns again, they do have eternal consequences insofar as that it affects everybody in the world. Dear old Solomon, who had a fair bit to say about a lot of things, he was reflecting on this in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 2 and 3, and he said something along these lines. "I observed all these things, and he said, I recognize that the same thing happens to the good and the bad, to him who offers sacrifices and him who doesn't, to him is holy, to the one that is unholy. They all go the same way. It doesn't seem to matter what it is, they all go the same way." So, in other words, sin strikes randomly. Think for you in your own thinking and in the only people that you know, how many good people do you know that have really suffered? I've met good people who have really, really suffered. And I'm saying to myself, these are good people. And yet you get other people who don't seem to suffer at all, and they're not not doing the wrong and they're not doing the right thing at all. Anyway, that's where we're up to. So in chapter 4, well, they find for the first time what sin really does when they find the lifeless body of their second-born son, Abel, killed by his brother. Can you imagine the trauma and the grief that these guys must have suffered when they found his body out there in the field and realised that he was dead?
Yep.
What does die mean? They know what die means now. Absolutely. You got any thoughts on this so far? So it comes down to how the question that we were asked to answer is, how did pain and suffering, or how did sin enter the world? And the answer is, sin entered the world through bad choices, through accepting a lie. Have you got any thoughts on this?
I agree with everything you're saying. The only thing I wanted to add was, like you said, you shared how sin entered the world, Genesis chapter 3. Yeah, it's just I'm just reminded of that verse. I think it's the end of chapter 1 where, you know, everything that God did was good. So pain and sin and death, everything that you're mentioning, and I love how you pointed it out, Brenton, death is not part of life.
It's not part of life.
It may be part of what we currently experience, but it was never part of God's original intent and ideal. So like you said, pain, suffering, sin, which is kind of what we're talking about, you know, why pain and suffering. We're just kind of giving you the broad stroke of scripture. It says, well, it's a consequence of the fall, of mankind's disobedience.
And it can be random. It hits the good as well as the bad.
Yep.
And there's no rhyme or reason to it. And if you want biblical examples, guys, talk about Job.
Yep.
Job's a classic example of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
How are there other biblical examples? How are we going for time before we get to our next break?
Yeah, we can probably go to the break now.
Then I'll get into the story of David.
Yep.
And the consequences that he suffered as a result of sin. And then we will finish our program by talking about Jesus Christ on the cross.
Awesome. Love to hear that. So, hey, we're just going to go to a break. Again, if you missed the book offer the first time around, we're going to promote it once again right now. So our free book offer is A Signs of the Times. It's a small magazine, but this is a special Signs of the Times edition because it's dealing with tonight's very topic. And the Signs of the Times article or magazine is titled When Life is Unfair, a resource from Pastor Mark Finley. And essentially the gist of this magazine is asking life's toughest question, why? And so if you're intrigued by Pastor Brendan's presentation and you're intrigued by this topic overall, hey, text the code. We'd love to send this out to you. So our text, the code is SA402. So that's all you need to text through. You don't need to text your name, etc. We'll get that a little later. But for now, just text the code, capital S, capital A, 402. You need to text that code to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. Our gift to you. So once again, When Life is Unfair, Signs of the Time special. If you like a free copy, SA402, that's the code. Send that code to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. We're going to some music. And when we come back, we'll wrap up our show tonight on Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy path throughout the universe to display. And when I think of God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly buried, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration.
Was Lauren Daigle, How Great Thou Art. We hope you enjoyed that music. It's Brenton and Will in the studio. We're talking about, if God is all-loving and all-powerful, why doesn't He fix the problem of pain? And Pastor Brendan has been unpacking the Bible evidence and the reason why there is pain and sin.
How sin and suffering and pain came into the world.
So go ahead, Pastor Brendan. We've got a few more moments in our live show tonight. And just as we went to break, just want to quickly shout out a son, he, who has text through for the book offer. Thank you, son, for tuning in and supporting Faith FM Drive Time. We'll get that book out to you as soon as we can.
As possible.
All right. So, Pastor Brendan, walk us through.
We shall. All right. Look, I have two more examples that I'd like to share. One of them is one of the best-known stories in the whole Bible. It's the story of David's and Bathsheba's adultery. And it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12.
Yep.
What I wish to highlight in regard to consequences of sin and what David and Bathsheba suffered as a result of this. First of all, Nathan the prophet comes along and tells David a story. And he says he gives him a parable about a man who had many, many sheep and animals, and another man who only had one little ewe lamb.
Yeah.
And a guest comes along, and instead of taking one of his many animals to feed this visitor, he takes the poor man's lamb and kills that and uses that for food. And David gets really mad at this, and he says, the man who did this will pay back fourfold.
Yeah.
And Nathan looks at him. I don't know about you, but if I had been Nathan, you didn't talk to kings like that as a general rule. Nathan looked him in the eye, and I imagine if he was on social media today, he'd be looking straight at David, and he would say, you are the man. God gave you the kingdom. He gave you your master's wives. He gave you this. He gave you that. And what have you gone and done? You have gone and killed another man in order to take his wife. And she's not your wife, she was his wife. And he says this in verse 10, now therefore The sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. What's particularly sad about that story, Will, and you've read it for yourself.
Yep.
In one of the chapters, either in Kings or Samuel, it gives a list of David's bodyguards.
Mm.
One of them was Uriah the Hittite.
Yeah, correct.
So here, one of his faithful men who was responsible for guarding the king, he goes and commits adultery with his wife, gets her pregnant, and I think most of our listeners who know anything at all about Scripture know this story, so I don't need to go through it in detail. What I do need to do is share with you that there are always consequences, and this is the important thing about sin and suffering. We could argue from now till Friday night about sin and suffering. We could have the screen lit up by people giving their two bob's worth from all over Australia, and they're certainly entitled to do that. The bottom line is, had there been no sin, there would be no suffering. Had there been no sin, there would be no death. Had there been no sin, there would be no pain. Correct. How do we know that? Because in Revelation 21, verse 4, it tells us this: and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more sickness, suffering, pain, or death, for the old order of things has passed away.
Correct.
That's what God said. Anyway, back to the story of David. David does come to the point in verse 13 where he says, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan says, you won't die. The Lord has forgiven your sin. However, because of this, this is what's going to happen. And you remember he sat on the throne and he said to Nathan, the man who did this will pay back fourfold. Did you realize that David lost four sons?
Yes.
The first one he lost was the baby that was born to he and Bathsheba as a result of their adultery. It's not named in Scripture, or he is not named in Scripture. It was a boy. And David prayed for him for 7 days, but the child died because God said it would. Then we find a little bit further down the track, his oldest son, Amnon, committed an incestuous relationship with his half-sister Tamar, and her brother Absalom got really mad about this and got Amnon killed. There's number two. We all know the story of Absalom, who tried to take over the throne from his father. He ended up dead as well. And finally, we had Adonijah, who made an abortive attempt to become king in place of David, even though David had installed Solomon as the king. So the consequences, I could say, is this. The consequences of David's sins would have, number one, diminished his moral authority in his own household, because if you study the history of David's household after his adultery with Bathsheba, it's nothing but trouble, Will, from here on. All the way through, there's just constant strife in his family. Mm. It would have lowered his prestige in the eyes of the people, because people are not stupid. They could work out after a while what was going on. And to lose four boys, I think David would have realized that, hey, the consequences of what I did that night, when I should have been out on the battlefield, we know where he should have been. Instead of sitting at home in his palace and going for a midnight walk on the roof of his palace and going, oh, look at that woman down there, get her for me, he should have been out on the battlefield fighting with his troops.
Yep.
So all of those things. So all of this comes about as a result of sin. And when you talk about Adam and Eve and the suffering that they brought to this planet because of their bad choices, think back. Even beyond that, think back to in heaven where Lucifer, as he then was, and his angels were cast out, and the problems that they caused in heaven that necessitated God actually expelling them from heaven. So there's some of the things that we are looking at today. It's, I don't know how you find it, but when you're trying to comfort somebody who doesn't have a religious hope, who doesn't have a hope in Jesus, it's very, very hard to know what to say to them.
Yep.
Why did God allow my brother to get killed in a car accident? Why has my sister got cancer? Why this? Why that? Why the other thing? And look, our screen could light up and we might get all sorts of answers coming up on the screen. But the bottom line is sin strikes people randomly. Mm. The important thing to remember is that Christ has made provision for all of those circumstances. We can trust him even though it seems as though everything is turning against us.
Yeah.
However, I want to finish on a positive note. I want to finish on the note of how did Jesus handle suffering and pain? I think you and I both know that crucifixion was, well, I've done a bit of research on this, and you probably have too. It was the most cruel, humiliating form of death that the ancients managed to bring about. You could be hung.
Yep.
Well, if you got hung, you died pretty quickly. If you were decapitated, obviously you would die pretty quickly. And other forms of capital punishment were instant, so you didn't suffer. But if you were crucified, I have read accounts that you could actually physically last up to 3 days hanging on the cross because you could not pull yourself up. Because your wrists were nailed to the cross pieces and your feet were nailed, all you could do is try and lift yourself up like this, and in order to, you would eventually, you probably wouldn't die of having nails through your hands and feet. You would probably die because you would eventually asphyxiate. Mm. You just wouldn't be able to continue to breathe. Anyway, Jesus is on the cross, and what does he say in Matthew 27, verse 46? It says, about 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, this is interesting because only a matter of hours earlier in John 16, verse 32, he says to his disciples, "The time is coming when I'm going to be all alone, but I'm not alone because my Father is with me." In other words, he basically forecasts or predicts that in a matter of hours, all of you guys that I'm talking to right now are going to desert me and flee, and I will be left by myself. But I'm not actually by myself because my Father has been with me all through my life, and here in this last closing struggle between good and evil before I go to the cross at Calvary, he's still with me. But now he's hanging on the cross, and he can't actually see through the gloom of the cross. There are various authors, one that we know well in the book Desire of Ages, in the chapter that talks about Calvary, and I read it this morning, how Jesus could not see through the tomb. He could not see himself coming out of the tomb a conqueror. And now he feels, because of how God views sin, and he is the sin bearer for the sins of the whole world, because of that, he thinks that the separation between himself and his Father is eternal.
Yep.
Try and get your head around that. If you've been there for eternity and now you're hanging on a cross bearing the sins of ungrateful people, which is all of us, and you sense or feel the abandonment that sinners will feel at the end of time when sin and sinners are destroyed. You feel that to a degree that we can't even imagine. And because your Father and yourself have always worked in harmony with one another, you now feel that he has deserted you as well. So that's the situation. Mm. The mental anguish I've written in my notes of losing the eternal connection he had always had with the Father was overwhelming him. That's what sin did. That's how sin came into this world. Yep. And the ultimate rejection of the sin bearer tells you how God views sin. So I would say our topic for tonight is pretty straightforward. We're to determine how did sin come into this world. We've determined it came in because of bad choices that Adam and Eve made. And as a result, Paul tells us in Romans 5, death came upon all men because all have sinned. Mm. Because one man sinned, Adam, so death came upon the human race, and that's a consequence that we have to live with. But thank God that the last enemy to be destroyed is death, And Jesus did actually say, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. And he who does not die and believes in me will live forever. So whether you die, whether you go to sleep, or whether you're still alive, when Christ returns, the good news is that he's promised that you will be with him, just as he promised the thief on the cross. So my appeal today to our listeners is pretty simple. Use the power of choice that you have, folk, to serve Jesus, both today and forever.
Amen. Hey, Brenton, I was just listening to how you're painting the picture of the cross, and my thought was, you know, there's the text where John, the apostle, says, I think it's 1 John chapter 3, he says, behold what manner of love
the Father
has bestowed upon us.
That we should be called sons of God. All of that came about because of the cross.
Yeah, yeah. So I love the way you're wrapping up this conversation, Brenton, because, you know, we started with why is there pain and suffering? And then we're like, hey, the God of the Bible sent his Son, and he suffered and died on our behalf.
Yeah.
That is the core of the gospel message.
And during the rest of the week, others will go through this in more detail.
Yeah. So. Well, hey, Pastor Brenton, thank you for sharing with our listeners out there. I'm sure they were blessed to hear your presentation tonight.
It's been my privilege.
Yes. So unfortunately, we just got a couple of minutes to go. But before we do sign out, just want to just to let you know that tomorrow, the same time, 5 p.m. tomorrow, Adelaide time, we have our host, Pastor Marty, Pastor Justin, and Pastor Gary as well. The question they'll be looking at is a world in conflict. And they're going to be discussing about the current conflict here on earth, is a backstory to the greater, story, the greater battle that's happening, the great controversy. So you don't want to miss tomorrow, Pastor Marty, Pastor Gary, and it's Pastor Justin.
It's expanding on what we did today.
Yes, absolutely. So, so thank you for tuning in. If you've been with us all the way through this last hour, thank you for tuning in right to the end. We appreciate you supporting Faith FM.
We do.
And, we hope to see you, next time tomorrow. But before I do, I want to just give the mic to my dear Noriah, who's been sitting here with me. Do you want to say something before we go?
Bye, and may God bless you.
Oh, thank you, darling. So she says, bye, and may God bless you. So there you have it, from Noriah, Brenton, and myself. May God bless you, and we hope to see you next time. May God richly bless you.